Good morning, everybody. Thursday, 25th of November, and Henry is en route to Melbourne at the moment. You'll see he's written a short Henry's take today. Drive carefully, Henry. Wall Street's closed tonight, and fittingly, not much happened overnight. Dow Jones down 9. Our futures this morning were up 7, and the market is down 4. Couple of things worth noting on the strategy front. The first is the FOMC minutes from last night have continued this rather hawkish tone of the week. Ever since Powell was appointed, the market has got it into its head that Biden plus Powell are going to take a bit of a harder line on inflation, and the FOMC minutes reflect that as well. It's being described as the hawkish pivot that's happened this week. Bond yields have gone up. The Fed members are talking about accelerating tapering, and interest rates are likely to go up as well. And this is something we all need to take on board. Rates are going up, and that's the message from the US this week. That's why tech stocks have done so badly, and bond yields are close to their high of the year. But also you'll notice New Zealand, not that we are going to follow New Zealand, but New Zealand have raised rates yesterday and warned home buyers that there is more to come. We've had that CBA research this week telling us to expect house prices to fall and interest rates to rise. The RBA are saying interest rates could stay on hold till 2024, but that CBA research, admittedly talking their own book, they want to justify raising mortgage rates, and they have been raising fixed rates, but the CBA saying interest rates are going up from 0.1% to 1.25% by the end of 2023. That's 5 interest rate rises, whilst the RBA is pretending there aren't going to be any. There's some more research today as well from a group called SQM. Tom's written it up in the Marcus Today section. But they are saying a similar thing to the CBA, that rates are going up and property prices are peaking next year. And falling next year, in fact. And they are saying part of the reason for that will be APRA, who have already raised the serviceability buffer. They're expecting them to raise it again, another 50 basis points or 0.5% to 3.5%, and to do that soon and impose other restrictions, particularly on investors borrowing to buy property. And the message is clear. Even if the RBA won't admit it, interest rates are bottomed or have bottomed, are going to go higher, and the obvious expectation is that the property boom we've seen over the last year with 20% plus rises in Australian property prices, that is going to peak as well sometime soon, probably middle of next year. So just warn your children as they take out their first $1 million mortgage to buy a crappy little house in Bentley that they could be making a mistake. A hawkish week, and that's the conclusion. Another observation on the back of that is you might have seen the Aussie dollar's gone below 72 cents again as the US dollar rises on this hawkish pivot and as bond yields rise in the US post Powell's appointment. So the Aussie dollar's been going down. Now that is good for, it hasn't been good for our ideas portfolio, because things that are priced in US dollars, as the US dollar goes up, they tend to go down in price. So gold is an obvious thing, but also metal prices. But gold's had a pretty horrible week as a hedge against inflation. People don't need it if interest rates are going to rise and inflation isn't going to become a problem. So gold's been going down. But the other thing that's interesting is that there are some ETFs. We hold IVV in the really boring portfolio, which is an S&P 500 ETF. But it's not hedged, so it's priced in Aussie dollars. And if the S&P 500 goes up, which it has, that goes up. But also, if the Aussie dollar falls and the US dollar goes up, which has also been happening particularly this week, then that ETF goes up as well. So you get a double bubble as the US dollar goes up and the S&P 500 goes up. You get a double bubble in IVV. It gets a double kicker. Of course, that can all turn around next week. But I've put a chart of the IVV ETF, the weekly chart, in the SPY section today, and you'll see absolutely roofing it. There were a couple of years back there where this very boring ETF over a very dull index, the S&P 500, returned 50% a year for a couple of years because it combined with technology stocks going up and the resources boom unwinding. So the Aussie dollar was falling. And we've got the same thing happening over the last week. Don't get too excited about it, but you can see it's a good play on the US markets going up and the Aussie dollar going down. Lots of economic numbers overnight. The US has been squeezing everything in before they go on holiday. They're closed obviously on Thursday and for half of Friday. COVID cases in Europe still a focus on the news wires. German market going down again. Volkswagen down 6% in a week. SAP down, which is the software services company, biggest stock in the German market, down 5%. German market down 1.9% in a week. Europe worrying about growth. If COVID does get a grip again and we see more restrictions and lockdowns, then GDP forecasts will go down and the euro goes down. And you'll notice holidays are getting cheaper in Europe. Metal prices all up overnight. Nickel price good, up 2.36%. That's good for my favourite stock beside nickel. I appear to have lost all objectivity on that stock. And finally, I've put a chart in of the S&P 500. As they go into the holiday, you'll see all the moving averages in the right place. And the S&P 500 overbought on RSI on a weekly basis. American investors will be very happy as they tuck into Thanksgiving. A lot happier than the poor turkeys, anyway. Right, on the portfolios front, the iron ore price, which has had a very good week, up another 4% overnight. I tell you, as I rolled out of bed this morning, the first thing I'm looking at is to see if this iron ore price turnaround is continuing. It is continuing for now. Don't want to get caught in a bull trap of buying into iron ore stocks just before they peak out, but our ideas portfolio looking rather nice. We bought Mount Gibson and Champion Iron, which is a 2.3 billion market cap Canadian-based operation stock. So bought MGX CIA yesterday. They're looking okay. We're holding BHP and Fortescue Metals. They're up 5% and 15% since we bought them. So that's all going very nicely, and that's playing out quite nicely in the Forever or Fufu portfolio as well, which I've put in the SPY section today. But iron ore going up, there are a couple of things in there. The research from Macquarie this week said that they have seen the resumption of construction on several Evergrande building sites. So Chinese property market stabilizing was the message. They've got outperform recommendations on BHP, Rio and Fortescue. And they note that weekly shipments of iron ore, which hit a five-month low, iron ore to China, which hit a five-month low this month in November, are now rising again, up 3% in the last week. So there's some suggestion that there is a bottoming out of this Chinese cut back in steel production and things are beginning to ease up. We have, having sold our 1% or so holding in BET, BET, in the Forever portfolio yesterday, I'm adding a couple of percent to our BHP holding today. That makes it a very big holding now in the Forever portfolio. It's up to 6.9%. But I'll chop that back as soon as the iron ore price tips over again. But for the moment, that's the play. I am trying to time the big low, not a momentary low. I'm not trying to have a short-term trade here. Trying to pick the big low in some of our biggest and best and cheapest and highest yielding stocks. Seems to be going okay for the moment. I think, as I say, we can do a bit of timing of individual Forever stocks in the Forever portfolio. I've also written up a bit on Macquarie. I see a quarterly report from a fund manager, Perennial Partners, which got a bit of mileage in the news wires. They've talked about Macquarie and call it, read the paragraph, but they are saying it is a renewable energy play because they will be involved in all the capital raisings, mergers and acquisitions that are going to go on as part of the renewable drive. And you'll see the chart of Macquarie in the SPY section today. Constant outperformance. It is looking a little bit overbought at the moment, I have to say. The PE 21.1 times is well up from the long-term average of 13 to 15 times. I think, as I've written before, Macquarie's a high beta stock. When this market tips over again, we will try and do a bit of timing by selling Macquarie in order to buy it back again. And I also noticed Netwealth having a bad week. There's speculation they're going to have to pay up to buy premium, which they've bid for. It's a competitor, 20% of their size. I don't see it as a concern. It's a short-term issue maybe, but the company is going to be driven long-term by the growth trajectory of the industry, which is this migration of funds away from unimaginative industry and retail super funds to the SMA platforms, and that will continue. And taking out one of their competitors is all just part of the process of them becoming the dominant player in that growth industry. industry so happy to hold. Right, no new additions to the ideas section, but have a read of that. You'll see how we're going with our new trades, MGX and CIA. I see Evolution Mining, which we fluked. It was a gold stock. We bought gold for a hedge against inflation when everyone was getting inflation paranoid 2 weeks ago. Seems we've got caught in a couple of stocks, Evolution Mining and St. Barbara, playing this inflation trade. We're well up on Evolution Mining because we fluked this deal to buy Ernest Henry, which saw the stock up 11-12% in 3 days. Tom and I talked this morning about starting a, if you fluke a 10% gain in a short period of time, take it trading rule. Haven't imposed it, but obviously thinking, dang, we should have sold those EVM when we were up 12% in 3 days. All part of this, of course, is to generate a fabulous track record of successes, so maybe we should take them so we sell more newsletters. Anyway, we are currently up 4.6% on EVN, 2.5% down on Northern Star, and 12% down on St. Barbara. St. Barbara really is a rubbish stock. Don't know why we've got caught in that, but there you go. I saw some technical sell signals on other smaller gold stocks today on the technical scans. But this is all a bit short term. We'll let it have some breathing space. See what happens next week to gold. And I see Novonix on our watch list. NVX up 7.7% today. I'm not sure we're ever going to get into NVX, waiting for a correction. I'm sure there'll be one, but overbought at the moment. Part of this watch list is trying to just keep an eye on or watch some of the stocks that interest us and try and time an entry point. So what I do with the watch list is look for turning stocks that have been of interest. One that is sort of turning at the moment, might be worth a look, is Beamtree Holdings, BMT. Have a look at that, up 6% in a week, having dropped 16% over the last month. That's a bit of a 10-bagger stock. It's not a short-term trade stock. You might have a look at that sometime. Right, that's about that. A nice, quiet Thursday. Market up 3 as I leave you. Dow futures up 66. Henry must be at Wagga by now. We're probably going to be a bit slow moving for obvious reasons tomorrow morning. You have a fabulous day, and I'll speak to you soon.